You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone!
Hello and welcome to the Disgusting Baseball Podcast. This is Quincy Wheeler, and I'm here with my good friend, Mike Mahoney. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Quincy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Mike is a good one to talk ball at any time. He's especially adept at pinch hitting. And right now we're trying to figure out the regulars on the Disgusting Baseball Podcast and how that'll work. Matt Dallas will be here. We got some other folks lined up. But I enjoy talking to Mike anytime. And Mike, I've got you here today because I know that if we sit down and think about it, you and I are going to figure out what the Guardians are going to do for their opening day roster. We're going to put this puzzle together.
Are you sure? I'm not sure. I've been crunching the numbers, Quincy, and it's they've really made a mess of things.
Like in the Emperor's New Groove when they show up at the end. By all accounts, it just doesn't add up. Anyway,
yes, they've outdone themselves this time.
It really is interesting. That's why I wanted to talk to somebody about it. And you are a great choice for that. So, okay, let's at the end of this, maybe we can talk about ideally what we might do, but we're going to focus on what we think the Guardians will do, try to project what's going to happen. So okay. Let's start off with pitchers. Okay. Now, would you agree with me? They're really probably not going to go 14 position players, 12 pitchers. Would you agree? Or do you think there's a possibility?
So it would shock me. And maybe that's the Tito Francona in me that just expects them to carry 13 pitchers always. But this is an organization that wants to have pitching depth basically at all times. It would shock me if they went anything other than the maximum 13 pitchers.
I think we basically have to proceed with the assumption that they're going to go 13 pitchers and, you know, hey, we could be shocked, but yeah, it especially early in the season, I could see like, hey, everybody's fully stretched out, maybe like for a period in the end of April into May, you could go with 12 pitchers or something, but at the beginning of the season, I don't really see it happening. Okay. So with that in mind, Mike and I came up with a list of names that are shoo-ins for that 13 side of the pitchers, given health, of course. So Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, knock on wood, Logan Allen, Eli Morgan, Nick Sandlin, Sam Hinches, Scott Barlow, and Emmanuel Clase. So does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's and that puts us at, it by my count, 10. Yeah. And we're thinking a maximum of 13 players on the pitching side for our MLB rule is maximum 13. This back in history, I'm sure they would have liked to put more than 13 on the 26 man if they could have.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see if we were back in those times. But yes, yeah. So yes, we're trying to figure out three spots on the 26 man, and that may also affect the 40 man. I know Mike gave some thought to the 40 man today too, so we can talk about that a little bit. Just remember, you know, if you're kind of new to this, teams have 26 spots on the roster. You can only have up to 13 pitchers, like Mike said. You have 40 spots. That's the active roster. You have 40 spots on your overall team roster. Anybody who's on the 60-day IL doesn't count towards it, but other people who are on, you know, the 15, what is it now, 10 or 15? I forget. But anyway, the 10-day, yeah. I don't know why. I just had a lapse there. But yeah, they still count against it. All right. So that would account as to why we don't have Trevor Stephan on this roster. It's unclear about what's going on with him. Wouldn't surprise me, given that it's an elbow issue, if it ends up being a 60-day thing. We haven't heard about him throwing yet. So yeah, he's certainly not going to be on opening day, and James Karinchak's not going to be on opening day. So we can cross those two off the list. So who do you think is next most likely to make this roster?
All right, so by my calculations, I think we have three pretty likely ones, but for my most lively Ben Lively. I think he is the most likely, the big addition, right? The big free agent swing. You can't really go on without Ben Lively. So I don't know why we should play coy about it. This man's probably going to make the roster. He's already on the 40 man, which is a huge deal, and a leg up against his competition for long relief and Carlos Carrasco. So I think it would be really surprising for me if Lively made it, although you could see him getting edged out maybe by Xavion Curry for the same role.
Yeah. I think that I'm with you as this being the most likely, because he's got that major league deal. He's on the roster already. It seems like he's at least going to get a look, and he's obviously looked fine in spring training games for whatever that's worth. So I think
very inoffensive.
I think that makes sense. It is. This is where it gets interesting, though, because you'd assume he's probably on there in a long relief role. And do you want two long relievers? Maybe at the beginning of the season you do.
And it's tough because I think the health of Gavin Williams comes into play here a little bit too. Because it's possible that he's able to pitch around opening day, but probably isn't stretched out the way you want him to be. You probably need a piggyback in that situation. Ben Lively would be a perfect fit for that. And you probably want someone who's also a bulk boy, as it were, to kind of carry you through. So for that configuration, for the situation they're in, I could see it's justifiable to me to have Lively and have Curry.
Lively and Curry.
Mm-hmm. Although I do think that Lively is my most likely, and then I haven't mentioned my second most likely, and then Curry is more on the bubble.
Yeah. Who's your second most likely?
Hunter Gaddis.
Yeah. Tom Hamilton was really talking up Hunter Gaddis the other day, and I always pay attention to that because sometimes it doesn't mean anything, and other times it's like, he's maybe heard something.
Right. And that's kind of the broadcast today might throw a monkey wrench into our whole discussion when we get to position players, if we're to take anything at face value from Tom Hamilton.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
But
that was
to
crazy.
To say nothing of that, Hunter Gaddis, I think, has looked like a single inning relief pitcher in the best way possible. The adjustment to the bullpen from being a starting pitcher has really helped his fastball play up, it appears. We don't often get velocity, but it looks like it's playing up. Hitters are swinging and missing at it a lot more, which was not something that really happened when he was starting. And he's not missing the zone too much. I think that his stuff playing up in this role and him being on the 40, already having service time, is a big factor here. Because in that role, I think there's competition from Cade Smith, who's also looked good.
Yeah, it makes sense for Hunter Gaddis to make this also, because if you give him that chance to make it in relief and it looks like it's really not working, people are still picking up on his off-speed pretty well, then that makes him one of the easier guys to DFA, and they're going to need to know some guys to DFA fairly early on to the season, I think. So, yeah, it would make sense that they would – yeah, I think they can certainly be very encouraged with what they've seen in spring training, but also say, well, we really need to kind of let them sink or swim here. So, yeah, I do think that Gaddis and Lively are probably the two most likely. Yeah, I think I'd agree. All right, so is your third most likely Curry?
Yes. I think Xavion Curry probably still makes this roster. He's more likely than not, in my opinion. And that's because of the track record from last year. Maybe I shouldn't be taking that into account as much because it's a new staff in a lot of aspects, but the same pitching coach. So I think that there's a understanding of the guy, the coach knows the player, and he's a hard worker, and he's not going to blow you away with anything, but he's consistent. He's reliable. And I think he's kind of a steady hand in a way you wouldn't expect a rookie, basically a second year player, to be. So I think that those are attributes that help him be valuable to the team, even if it's going to be in kind of this weird, you might get one inning here, two or three innings there type of role, which I just think he can handle that well. I think he's a mature player in that respect.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I am all in on the Xavion Curry is an amazing person train. I guess the only reason I would think possibly he could not is if they really want to keep him stretched out as a starter for the purposes of depth. I'm not saying that that's for sure what they'll do, of course, but they could say, hey, we like him as a starter. We want him to stay stretched out. And that's pretty easy to explain to a guy, at least to begin a season. So I would feel that's a possibility. So in your perspective, and I was already kind of here, you don't think Carrasco is going to make it. This was an easier call to make before Cookie came out and struck four guys out in three innings. Because for a while, he wasn't striking anybody out. It's like, he's washed. But now he seems like he's got a pretty live sweeper going on. So there might be something there. So what do you think the odds are that he finds his way on?
I mean, it's tough. Because of the situation that they're in with their 40 man, without someone going and getting really hurt, like 60 day injured list hurt, I'm not really sure who you open up the roster spot for Carrasco to come in on the 40 for. And that's, you know, we're not even to the point of who do you bring off the 26 man at that point. We're just talking about, because at some point you're running up against the max of pitchers too. And I'm not sure you're going to DFA any of these pitchers. My first couple off the 40 will be reserved for the position player discussion later, but know that they are position players. And I think that the pitchers that are here are just infinitely more valuable than the people I'm looking at for the position players. So with that being said, it's a hard sell for me. And I want Carrasco to make it. Love Carlos Carrasco, one of my favorite pitchers, but, and you're right, that sweeper, there's something to it. And for the reasons I mentioned that Curry could be a valuable single to multi-inning reliever, you probably would trust Carrasco more with that role, considering how many more innings he has as a professional and just, you know, the familiarity organizationally. So, like, if there is a way, it comes at the expense of Curry making this team, but he's going to be in AAA stretched out. So I could see it maybe that way, but that's really the one, in my opinion.
Yeah. So as far as the 60 man spots go, Espino will for sure be on it.
So yes. Well, my hesitation to that is he will be eligible, but when he's on the 60 day, he's getting paid he's getting paid the full deal, where if he's on the 7 day, which is what it is in the minors, for those, it's very confusing why they split this up, but it's a 7 day injured list for minor league baseball. If he's on that, he's getting paid the minimum for a AAA player, which is significantly less, factor of 10 less.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Thanks for reminding me about that, because I had thought about that the other day. I didn't. So it'll be a determination of whether you find that spot on the 40 more valuable or not paying him more valuable. And we know the Guardians. So that'll be interesting to watch. Well, if I told you that, hey, I think Stefan will end up on the 60 day, do you think they'd add Cookie then?
I think it makes it more likely. I think it's because I think that they would want to replace his spot with another pitcher, considering it's like 19 pitchers, 21 position players.
Right.
They probably want to keep something like that running. So they probably adopt some hopeful pitcher into a happy home on the 40-man roster. It would probably be Carrasco before the other non-roster invitees, who we do not need to mention on this broadcast.
I'm going to just briefly mention Anthony Banda. He's got a nice sinker.
I like him too.
I could see them, and I'm certainly not moving heaven and earth to get Anthony Banda on the roster. But I could see them saying, hey, we'd like to take a little longer look at a veteran lefty arm that we could maybe make work here a little bit. I could see that. That's in the realm of possibility. But aside from that, nah, not really. No. Hopefully Jaime Barilla ends up in the minors and they can see what they can figure out with him, because he had some decent projections here and there, so there's probably something there, but he's not finding it right now. But aside from that, other guys who are on the 40, Tim Herron and Cade Smith, so we're kind of thinking they're going to start in the minors.
Yeah, and I thought Heron for a minute here because having the other lefty besides Sam Hentges coming out of the bullpen might be of interest to the staff, but I don't think he comes in over Gattis, and I think Gattis has the weapon against lefties in the changeup, so you might use him in a similar manner. But I think that there's also a possibility, while I'm pretty sure Gattis is a reliever now and they're gonna actually treat him as such, they might have, for the same reasons we mentioned with Curry, send him down to AAA and stretch him out. I don't love that. It doesn't seem
Right.
like they're doing that right now, so it would surprise me. But if that were to happen, I think Heron's got a shot.
Yeah.
I think he'd be the most likely otherwise. And Cade Smith, I'm pretty certain, is going to be a AAA. But I hope he impresses there because he's really looked good in camp.
I think we'll see a good amount of Cade Smith this year. We'll see a good amount of Franco Alleman at some point.
Yes.
But I do agree with you that the most likely is. Yeah, I agree with you on Gattis and Lively being the most likely. I do think I've there's little birds talking here and there, as they say. I do think that Stefan might end up on the 60-day, and I think in that case they probably will add Carrasco at least for a little bit. So
Okay.
that would be my only difference from you there. All right, the pitching side's easy though, so let's go to the hitters.
Oh, do we have to?
Jose Ramirez, I think, will make the roster. So
Are you sure?
this is our
I mean,
list
they do
of
need all that
hitters.
money.
Hitters that we're sure will be on the 13 side of the hitters. Jose Ramirez, Andrés Giménez, Bo Naylor, Josh Naylor, Ramon Laureano, Stephen Kwan, Tyler Freeman. Just to briefly say, like, it's very obvious that Freeman's making the roster. I'm not saying
Yeah,
he's
lock him
starting,
in.
but he's making the roster. Austin Hedges, and that's it.
I have my next category down from locks, which I agree with on all counts. Get ready for Tyler Freeman 6 to 7 days a week. Maybe he'll take Sundays off this year instead of
Yeah.
playing only on Sundays.
Yeah.
But it will be 6 days a week, I think, for Tyler Freeman because I think his bat's good, center field versatility good. Infielder, pretty good infielder. I don't know how you keep him out of the lineup.
I just wanted to briefly say Tyler Freeman will take Sundays off just like my other Lord and Savior. Anyway.
Now on to something a little less savory. I have salary calories is my next category. And that is exclusively Miles Straw. What do we do with Miles Straw, Quincy?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about what the Guardians are going to do, and I've been
He's
trying to
here.
convince myself that they could like send him because he's still probably eligible, I think, service time from what I can tell, though it's not real clear from MLB rules, but they could still send him to Columbus or something if like, hey, you had that sickness, you need a little more time or whatever. I'm trying to convince myself of that. I'm trying to convince myself they could dump his salary somehow. Not his salary. They could just dump him and keep a lot of his. I just don't believe any of it. I think he's still on the team.
Yeah, I have to agree. I do fondly recall when Fausto Carmona was sent to Lake County to work on some things. So that was pretty late into his tenure. I think a few years past where Miles Straw is, maybe around the same service time as Miles Straw right
Yeah,
now.
maybe, yeah,
So
probably.
let's not rule anything out about the drastic and dramatic send downs. I think just having him down at all would be pretty precipitous. But I
Yeah.
can't see them doing it. I think
No.
that irrespective of offensive performance, I think they have a lot of respect for the player. And
Yes.
there is no doubt that he is a useful major league player. I just think they're paying him probably a bit too much for their standards for the role that he's most like to fit into a contending roster, which I'm not sure that,
And
we don't need to comment on that.
getting full time basically appearances and being the worst qualified hitter in Major League Baseball over the past 2 years, it's just like we can't plan on him being a starter anymore. So he's got to transition to a different role. And they seem like they understand that. I mean, I hate to say for sure that they do, but it seems like they understand that.
But Quincy, look at his spring stats. How
Somebody
many
was saying
infield
that to me the
singles
other
can you
day.
have?
There was a you got to walk today too, Mike. The on-base percentage goes brr. All
Yeah,
right.
he's in the 900s OPS, and
Ah,
it's I don't
jeez.
think he has an extra base hit.
They also had a great toot bland the other day.
Yeah, he really did. He rounded that base hard and then did nothing.
You and I were talking about, I think, and Jim Rosenhaus was so confused as to why Miles Straw was just hanging out between second and third after a hard hit single.
He was like caught in the matrix. He's like, what happened here?
All right. So one way or another, Straw's going to be on the roster. I think we agree on that. So that puts us at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we need 4 more. And the interesting thing is, of course, Straw affects everything else, because I've been saying, I don't know what you think about it, I have trouble imagining them giving Steven Vogt a bench where like 3 of the 4 players are projected for like a 75 WRC plus or lower. And
yeah,
if it's Miles Straw, Austin Hedges, who we have on our bench here, then is a really another bench spot going to be Davison De Los Santos? Because that would put you in that scenario where your only useful bench bat is Tyler Freeman.
Right. And that's presuming he's not starting a majority of the time. Like, I believe he will.
Your other bench bat could be Esteban Florial, who looks like he might be struggling in that area too.
Yeah, it's tough to put a ton of stock into spring baseball, but if you're gonna put it into stock into anything about spring baseball, approach should carry. And Esteban Florial's approach is not something I would like to continue to watch if it's gonna carry like this.
It looks like what it has looked like in his short time in the majors. That's the problem.
Right. It's not carrying over from what he did in AAA that had him lay out some pretty impressive stat lines and what I think a lot of people hoped he would immediately look like in major league camp. I think we need to we're gonna come back to Florial. Davison De Los Santos, I think, is the big fish to fry here. And I have never been so confused about what they're going to try to do here, because it seems like a genuine toss-up to me whether he's going to make the roster or not. And if he doesn't make the roster, I don't think they're going to be willing to trade capital, because this is just a conservative organization. And in that way, I don't think they're going to trade for his rights and send him down to Akron. I don't think they're going to trade for his rights and send him to Columbus. I don't think they're going to trade for his rights at all. I think he goes back and they take their $50,000 cap.
Yeah. But Mike, he hit a home run off of a 27-year-old quad A pitcher the other day.
Yeah, that guy. I took a deep dive into the lore, because it was like every righty he faced just absolutely demolished him, and every lefty looked like they'd never seen a slider in their life. So there's a role for that player somewhere in Oklahoma City, but probably not with the Dodgers.
No, probably not.
In any event, he, you know, that's the only flash of that like home run hitting power we've seen. That's really, is that the only fly ball he's hit? Like, everything's on the ground.
And that's the thing. Just to briefly mention that to people who maybe haven't encountered it, he has that 50% or above ground ball rate for his whole minor league career. And everybody's like, oh, the swing change. I went back through all the box scores, and he's consistently 50% of everything he hits is on the ground. That hasn't changed. So it's like, yeah, you're counting on him to somehow find the walk rate of Yandy Diaz to make it work, or like the contact rate of that's just not going to happen. So, you know, I guess I think about De Los Santos. There's no doubt he's an interesting prospect. You're 20 years old. You put up 130 WRC plus at AA. You carried your team through the playoffs. That is interesting. But he very much could be a first base DH guy. Maybe he plays third, you know, but we have a pretty good third baseman. But maybe he's a first base DH guy. There's that risk. And there's also the risk he's just not going to make enough contact to be a major league player. The good side of things is he could hit 40 bombs, you know, so that's hard to let go of. But I don't know where you are. I'm still on the train of they're going to send him back.
I think they're sending him back. I don't think that they're going to try to acquire his rights. And I lean more towards they're sending him back than they're going to try to do gymnastics just to do the same thing you do, because we might be looking at a situation where they need to do something with the roster, and he's got to be one of the first people off.
Yeah. All right. So we got 4 left, right? So who are they?
David Fry feels like as close to a lock as you can get to me.
Yep, I agree. And I think him starting at first base made me even more confident of that.
I agree. I think the versatility that he provides you in being able to play the corners in the infield and the outfield and also catch is really hard to emulate. You're not going to get a guy like that every day. And he does them competently enough. I'm not going to say I want to watch him play the outfield, but he can do it.
I'm not going to say I was just going to say he's 100%
third base.
Yeah, he's 100% a way to make sure that you don't have high leverage Austin Hedges plate appearances. And yes. I think that's pretty important.
It's very valuable. And he's also someone that I would look at and say, I know maybe projections don't love the bat. I'm not sure exactly how he projects out, but he's someone that I feel can put a professional at bat in a pinch. So I would feel okay with him being one of the options for vote, even and as a catcher. That's valuable.
Yeah, and I'm confident looking at his stats in the minors that he'll hit lefties. I think he'll probably have a pretty long career in the majors as a utility guy who can reliably hit lefties. So let's do that here because we could use some of that lefty help. All right, so we got Fry. Now we just need three more. So who is the starting shortstop for the Guardians, Mike?
You know, I was just about to ask if we really need one because I don't think that watching the spring, I've actually seen one. I haven't. Have you seen these shortstops? Like, guys, you're supposed to be playing for a position on the major league team.
Yeah.
Come on.
Nobody's really grabbed. I mean, Angel Martinez obviously has had a real good camp.
Yes.
But they are unlikely to choose Angel Martinez. Jose Tana has looked amazing with the glove, but about like Jose Tana with the bat as usual. So yeah. Really, I mean, they're going to pick either Gabriel Arias or Brian Rocchio, right? They're going to pick one to begin the season.
I think so. I don't know for how long they're going to be wedded to that idea, especially if you have Martinez in AAA and Brito in AAA
right.
Hitting the way that we are really just approaching their at-bats the way we expect them to.
Yeah.
Brito, the results didn't show it in the spring necessarily, but he had a really patient approach. He took a lot of really close pitches. I was really encouraged by what I saw from him. And
hit the ball
Martinez
hard a couple times too.
Yep, Martinez did the same thing with the results. So he'll get the glow, but Brito and Martinez to me are right there with each other. Very interesting.
If anybody's ever looked at it too, just like Mike said, Angel Martinez is pretty much Juan Brito light. Not that much different, really, but very
right.
similar.
I think he's
in
a better
a lot
defender.
Of numbers. And I'll say, like, one of the things I've become really convinced of is it's so hard to overcome that bad swinging strike rate in the minors. That's what we're talking about with all these guys from Florial to De Los Santos. And Angel Martinez and Juan Brito have excellent swing strike rate. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, great guys. Recognition, good discipline, fun to watch attack the at bat as it goes.
Aggressive, assertive hitters. Yep. Go ahead.
Yes. So I think it's going to be Rocchio, and I am basing that on basically nothing because I can't base it on anything they've shown me. I have to go on a little bit of prospect pedigree and a little bit of I am personally tired of watching Gabriel Arias, but that is me. I know the organization feels differently about him and that others feel differently about him. It would not shock me if they went that direction, but I don't know for how long.
It's
and
one of those.
Keeping in mind, they have played Arias in other places.
Right. It is complicated because I know some ball knowers, some absolute ball knowers who are convinced they need to give Arias some more time. So yeah. If they do, I'm completely on board. You will not hear me complain at all if they mm-hmm. give Gabriel Arias time, and I'm not going to call for him to get removed if he has a bad April. It won't yeah. be till June till you hear me say, hey, it's probably time to move on, if mm-hmm. it is. And I'd yes. be love if he surprises me. But I also am going to go with Rocchio. I think it ends up being Rocchio. I think maybe they end up trading Aris. We might talk about that a little bit, but and it's just because it's so hard to figure out where all those bats are going to come from for everybody in Columbus. So just everybody's like, oh, he's at the low point of trade value. Well, I mean, at some point
they're all at the low point of trade value.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we have Rocchio there. That gets us up to 11 spots. We get two more left here. So I'm assuming somebody is going to be a platoon partner for Laureano.
Yeah. And I mean, I have, I want Will Brennan on the roster. I'm not sure with Esteban Florial, if they both make it, I'm not sure which one becomes the platoon partner. I would prefer Brennan because I think his at-bats are better quality, but I'm saying that thinking like, oh, he walks 4.5% of the time and Esteban Florial at least takes some pitches, but takes too many, strikes out too much. I don't know. I don't really love either. How about they just extend Chase to Lauder?
I know. Okay, that'll be where we wrap up with this. But so what's most likely – okay, do you think what's most likely is it's Brennan and Florial, or do you think it's Brennan and Arias or Florial and Arias? Is that what's most likely?
I think it's tough to say because it's very rare they give up assets for anything. I think they want to see Florial in the regular season. I maybe don't, but I think Florial makes the roster. I'm not sure you carry it depending on, you know, how they view their situation. If they're carrying five or six outfielders because they got Straw, they got Florial. We had eight here. So I think there's room for Brennan and Florial. I'm just not sure why you do that. I think you got to take one of the outfielders and Arias.
Yeah. I think I'm going to ultimately go with, I don't know. Maybe it's just a hunch, but I just really think they are going to trade the loser of the Arias Rocchio thing. I know people are like, oh, that's not going to happen. I just have this hunch that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think maybe they've had it lined up for a while and they're just going to make the move when the time comes. So I actually do think they're going to do five outfielders and Freeman will mostly be an infielder. And then you do have, I know none of us want to see it, but Fry can play third base for a day if you need to.
That's good by me.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if Arias makes it or if they trade Arias and Tana makes it. It wouldn't shock me. So now with the last couple minutes we have, what would you do if it were up to you? Would you be the bold team to say Kyle Manzardo is on this roster, which I think you and I would both agree he should be on the roster, but whatever, he's going to work on his defense for 2 weeks and then they're going to bring him up or whatever. He's one of the best hitters on the roster. And Chase DeLauder, here you are. Right field is yours. Make it yours forever, baby. Is that what you do?
So I immediately jettison Esteban Florial into another solar body. that's fine. I won't miss him. Davison De Los Santos, I thank you for your time here. You have a great smile, and I'm sure you have a great disposition. I hope that you and Jose Ramirez remain friends forever. it's time for Kyle Manzardo. It's time for Chase DeLauder. And shoot, if you're going to be the youngest team in baseball again, or around the youngest team in baseball again, shouldn't you be playing your best young players? What are we doing here? You're wasting time with guys that maybe aren't as well regarded by yourself and others, what's the game? You know, what's the game plan? You want make Chase DeLauder the next Michael Harris. You know, give him a good contract, get him out there and see what you got.
Yep. I'm with you, and I also, if I was in charge, I'd probably be starting Juan Brito or Angel Martinez at second base and moving him in as a shortstop day one. Yes. But I am also fine, definitely fine with seeing Rocchio or Arias, who I'm with you. I'm not at all locked in there. But if they're like, hey, we really like, I'm fine with that too for a little while, as long as those guys are getting ramped up and ready to go and step in. So yeah, we're all on the same page. It's ridiculous not to have Kyle Manzardo open the season with the team, but I've just accepted that it's what's going to happen. It shouldn't happen. It might cost them half a win in the time period, maybe. So that's dumb, but I'm moving on.
Okay, Quincy, if we're moving on, we got 90 seconds. If you had to, aliens pointing laser beams at planet Earth, which one of these two NRIs are you accepting? Adam Aller or Tyler Zuber? Go.
Oh, my goodness. The underlying numbers for Adam Aller, I cannot figure out why he's in camp. Tyler Zuber, I'm like, okay, all right, I can see you have one pitch that may be viable. It's like its heart's beating just barely, and it might be viable.
But his ERA is 1962.
Oh, I mean, in spring training, he's been terrible, but I can see in the past. So, yeah, it would be Tyler Zuber, but I would obviously throw up when I made that decision. Mike, thank you.
Sorry about the aliens.
M Mahoney, M-A-H-O-N-E-Y, 157 on Twitter. If you want to find him there, great baseball takes, great baseball guy, great friend. Thank you, Mike. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Quincy. Thank you for having me.